From a transmitter atop Great Blue Hill, this is WGBH, live, local talk, Boston Public Radio.
I'm Emily Rooney. This is Boston Public Radio. Well, as you've been hearing all morning, Governor Mitt Romney is at this hour at the White House. He is the guest of President Obama. The two are having a bite in a private dining room away from the prying eyes of the press. They may hash out a role for Governor Romney, or they may just trade pleasantries and be done with it. Whatever goes down, speculation is rampant about Romney's future prospects. Joining me to talk about this today, Pat Griffin, GOP political strategist and CEO of the consulting firm Griffin, York & Kraus. Welcome, Pat.
Thanks, Emily. Great to be with you.
So, I mean, right away, I'm thinking, you know, President Obama had this long telephone conversation today with John Boehner. Maybe he should ask Romney to negotiate the fiscal cliff. What do you think of that?
Well, Mitt's pretty good at negotiating. I mean, certainly the Bain capital years and all we've heard about his business acumen might be helpful. You know, it's interesting. I'm not sure that this is much more than a gracious president attempting to sit down symbolically with the guy who essentially he pilloried, and actually they pilloried each other, in fairness, in one of the meanest campaigns
I can remember.
I worked for George H.W. Bush. I worked for George W. Bush. Those were tough campaigns, but this was a particularly difficult one. So in many ways, whether he asks him about the negotiations with John Boehner and the Republicans in Congress, more than anything else, I think this is a healing process. It's symbolic of our republic. When elections are over, we shake hands and move on.
It just seems like this is an opportunity to do something that's more than symbolic. I mean, you know, not only did they pillory each other, but in many respects, this was a landslide election. I mean, this was not even close. Nothing. It just wasn't close. It was a runaway electoral vote, you know, sweep. But if he actually pulled Romney in and said, hey, you know, you know how to negotiate, you rescued the Olympics, and you put somebody in, this would really, really test his mettle, too, because, you know, he'd have to negotiate with both sides, you know? He couldn't just side with the Republicans if he was bringing the president a deal.
Yeah, you know, I just don't know, Emily, whether or not—I mean, that sounds to me perfectly logical. It sounds like what a patriot would do for his country if asked by the president. It sounds like a reasonable thing for the president of the United States to do. By any and all accounts, let's take the partisanship out of this for a minute. You know, Mitt Romney is whether you like him or you don't, and he was a client of mine. I happen to respect him greatly. He's a smart guy. By any measure, a guy with his family background, his education, his business accomplishments, his community service, et cetera, the relationship he clearly has with his family and his faith, those are, I think, by any measure in our society, something we would look to a person to and say, boy, that's a good and decent fellow. And unfortunately, in politics, what we do is take good and decent fellows and we not just run against them on the issues, but destroy them. There's a lot of bad blood between these two guys.
Yeah, they're really
And I think it becomes intensely personal, not only to the candidate, and again, I'm speculating, but also to the family. You know, it was a hard thing for Ann Romney and his sons to go through. So to me, one, I'm not sure Mitt Romney would take something that was offered, but more importantly, and I don't say this to be pejorative, I don't think the language Mitt Romney speaks is one, with all due respects, as smart as Barack Obama is one that this president understands. Well, I think too many Republicans run around and say, Obama's a socialist.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't think Obama's a socialist. I happen to believe that he's fairly strident and quite liberal, but it's not because he's a socialist. I think Barack Obama probably wants as good for the country as any of us. The problem is, this is a guy who has grown up as a community organizer. He spent a very short time in the United States Senate. His life is very, very different than someone who has managed a business. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about now is a debt crisis. Debt comes from overspending. You don't get into debt if you don't overspend. So right now, a business person would come in and say to the president, I'm a consultant from Bain Capital. Let's forget it's Mitt Romney. Here's what we need to do to turn this country around. I'm not sure President Obama, as bright a guy as he is, would understand the advice or ideologically accept it.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I don't think he would put he might not want to put this into Mitt Romney's hands because it might make Mitt Romney look too good, you know, if he actually pulled it off. This would be the perfect opportunity because it's not a full-time job. He wouldn't be saying to him, join my administration, but let's get this done. You help me bring the two sides together and let's hash out a deal, which would, you know, could save some face for Mitt Romney as well. But not, you know, force him to decide whether he actually wanted to take a job. I can't see him taking any lesser job in the administration. Not that he would be offered a cabinet post, but anything.
Right.
He doesn't want a full-time job, you know?
Right. And you know what, Emily? He doesn't need one.
No, he doesn't.
you know, I saw this. It's a little bit of deja vu. Another former client of mine was Senator Judd Gregg.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember when Judd was tapped to be the president's cabinet secretary after Bill Richardson was not going to be successful in that particular situation. Senator Gregg was offered that position, accepted it initially, and then retracted the acceptance a day or so later because of a series of internal things that happened in the White House that he was not particularly happy with. The idea there was to extend an olive branch to a reasoned, reasonable Republican. Senator Gregg was highly respected, great seniority in the Senate, a former governor, and a guy whose background was very different than President Obama's. Unfortunately, that didn't work out for a lot of reasons, and I think most of them were political, and I'm not sure this would work either, even if it was an informal role, whether it was a czarship or a special assignment. Yeah. I don't know that it works out. These guys are in very different places philosophically and ideologically.
I mean, we got to be talking about something substantive, though, and I can't imagine. They're certainly not rehashing the campaign. They're not going to be talking about the gifts, you know, stuff that Romney said 2 weeks ago that Obama won the election through. They're not going to be talking about that.
I'm betting they're not talking about the new Twilight saga either. You know, yeah. I mean, you know, what do you say after it? And it's so awkward in campaigns. Ugh. When you lose, it's very awkward. When you win, you know, I find being a gracious loser is difficult personally.
It is.
And you take some time and it hurts. But even, you know, being gracious winning is sometimes even more difficult. Mm-hmm. And what we have to realize in this country is I've been on both sides of it. I've won them and lost them. It feels a lot better to win than lose. But at the end of the day, the political pendulum swings, and we all know that. Mm-hmm. Whether it'll ever swing back the Republicans' way in a presidential election, given the demographics of this country and the problems with the party, is a real question. But I would bet that this is an opportunity. Back to our first, the way we started this conversation. Mm-hmm. I think the president basically says, it's politics, it's over, the country has spoken, you're a great public servant, I'd love to hear your ideas and thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I bet Governor Romney will offer them.
You know,
where it goes from there, I don't know.
I just, on your point about being a gracious winner, I thought that President Obama was, and I actually thought that the supporters of President Obama were too, you know. I didn't see any gloating anywhere, did you? There was relief, I think, for the people who supported President Obama, but I got no sense of gloating at all because I think that a lot of people felt, hey, this could have gone either way, and Obama has a lot of shortcomings and faults, and you know he's our guy, but you know this is, you know, the skin of our teeth.
No, I thought the president was very gracious, and I thought you know, it's not easy in a partisan room to make the comment he made about wanting to get together with Governor Romney and speak with him. I thought that was very gracious. The problem is, you know, a lot of times I look at particularly re-elects and I say to myself, you know, when you run for an election as a challenger, it's so Kennedy-esque. It's so sort of, you know, it's all about Camelot and the great future.
Yeah.
And we talk about what America could be. The first Obama sort of challenger campaign, which was about hope and change, was much more a movement than a campaign. And the second one was the dirt of doing. I mean, Axelrod and David Fluff and some of these guys ran a brilliant, brilliant political strategy, which was to take a president at 47% in a very, very difficult political climate and to essentially make the other guy an unacceptable alternative. And it was a brilliant – they did a brilliant job.
Mitt Romney helped himself to do that, too, a couple of times.
In some ways, he did. And again, the problem is when I say, you know, Emily Rooney, isn't a very patient person. And then you go out in the parking lot and lose your patience somewhere, I can point and say, see what I told you? and the 47% comment and some of these other comments played to type in a manner with which the Obama people were very easily able to say, see, what do we tell you?
You know, Pat, I had forgotten that Mitt Romney's father, George, actually ended up in a cabinet position himself, housing and urban development. And apparently he had endless problems with Haldeman and Ehrlichman and, you know, this idea that he couldn't report directly to the president. So he was stymied by these guys. So Mitt Romney would never put himself in a position like that.
Well, remember, Mitt Romney's a chief executive.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the things I find in politics is when CEOs, business types, run for the United States Senate or governor, and I've handled some of those campaigns, we often call them self-funders. They write big checks, but it's very hard to tell a guy who's made $500 million what color necktie to wear and what his position should be on the International Monetary Fund.
Yeah.
These guys are chief executives. Mitt Romney was a chief executive and entrepreneur. He was the governor of a state. Governors make good chief executives because at the end of the day, people have to say yes, sir, or no, sir, or yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. So when you're a governor and you've run the whole show, it's very, very difficult, I think, to step into an advise and consent position where there's someone between you and the decider, as George W. Bush would say.
Well, you know, the one who really, just how gracious, who made this whole thing work out with Hillary is Hillary Clinton. We're not going to get into a whole thing about that now, but man, she really, you know, sucked in her pride and, you know, she's been a fantastic.
And there were some, if you remember, that was not exactly an unchilly uniting they did in Unity, New Hampshire.
Yeah, right.
I remember. It was a tough plane ride.
It was. All right. Pat Griffin, GOP political strategist. Thanks so much.
Pleasure, Emily. Thanks for having me.
And Kara Miller is back in Studio 3.
Hey, Emily. Well, you were just talking about Mitt Romney, who is certainly a member of the demographic that I'm going to be talking about, and that's plutocrats.
What's the definition of that, anyway?
I think, you know, the top, like, 0.1%. We can ask journalist Chrystia Freeland, who has written about the rise of another Gilded Age, and it's one that represents a level of abundance that I think most of us can't quite imagine.
Except maybe those two new Powerball winners.
It may be those two, yes. I'm Kara Miller.
I'm Emily Rooney. This is Boston Public Radio.